week's word.
God is transcendent. Everybody say, God is transcendent. But he's not only transcendent, because he has created the world, and the world exists, and the universe exists, and people exist, he cannot be away and say, oh, I'm so transcendent, I'm not bothered about the things that are in the world. I don't care about the moon, I don't care about the stars, I don't care about the earth, I don't care about people. No, he cannot do that. So there is a second thing about God. God is immanent. God is immanent. What does that mean? It means God actively works through and within his creation. He is not his creation, but he works through his creation. He's always aware of his creation. He's present in every part of his creation. He fills all time and all space of his creation. I like how David, the psalmist, puts it in Psalm 139, talking about God. Psalm 139, verse 7 to 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the light shines as the night shines as the day. Darkness and the light are both alike to you. Very profound words. So basically, David is saying that no part of God's creation can escape from his presence and his power. Though he's transcendent, no part of God's creation can escape. There's no corner of the universe that escapes from God. And if you listen to what David is saying, David says, if I go to the heavens, and he's not talking about heaven, the abode of God. Of course, that would mean God is there. But he's talking about when I go to the heavens, that means if I travel in intergalactic space, I take on one of those Star Wars starships and I go at warp speed to some galaxy. He says God is there. I can't escape. If I go a billion miles into the universe, God is there. Then he says something interesting. He says, if I go to hell, you say, well, hell, the devil is there. God is there. And by hell, David is not just talking about Satan's abode. He's talking about death. So David is saying, whether I'm alive or I am dead, God's presence surrounds me. That's awesome. In heaven, on earth, in hell, in death. He says, if I go to the uttermost part of the ocean and go to the deepermost part of the ocean, the deepest part in the Mariana Trench, I go to the deepest point of the ocean, God is there. You cannot outrun God's presence. You cannot stretch beyond God's presence. That's the eternal nature of God. When you are in darkness, he's there. When you are in the light, he's there. He's there at all times. So he's transcendent. He's beyond his creation, but he has not abandoned his creation. He's there at all times and in all places. When you look through the Bible, God's names tell of his eternal nature. We say that God is the everlasting God. He revealed himself as I am. Sometimes it's called the Ancient of Days. It doesn't mean he's an old man. He's also called the Living God. All these terms are expressing one idea, that God is eternal. And if you're going to build faith in God, this is where everything starts, the eternality of God. Without God's eternality, you can't even understand how he deals with us. So I'm going to give you three implications of the eternality of God. Practical application. What does it mean when we say God is eternal. The first implication is that God is always present. God is always present. He's never absent, and nothing can take him away. He's present in our moments of pain and suffering. He's present in our moments of joy and celebration. He's present. God is there. When a person dies, God is there. He's loved. He's present when there is crisis. He's present when there is peace. God is there. He's eternal. You can't switch him off. And for a believer, you have to understand, absent when we die, neither is he absent when we are born. God is ever present. There will be no time in your life that he's absent. That's the eternal God. He is always present. He is always present. The second implication of God's eternality is that God never changes. He is always God at all times. He is always God at all times. He's not half God, quarter God, three-quarter God. God is always God at all times. He never changes. He's immutable. He's infinite. God never improves. God never becomes. God cannot be holier than the holy he is now. His holiness is fixed. His love is fixed. He cannot be more loving. He cannot be more holy. Because if he can be, then he is not. And if he is not, then he cannot say, I am. He can't improve. He cannot learn. So God cannot change. You know, sometimes people read the Bible and say, the God of the Old Testament, he was very harsh. But the God of the New Testament, he's very kind. As if God has improved over the ages. He's just looked at human beings and said, these people are so bad. If I hit them, I'll kill all of them. So now I'm going to be loving. No, no. God has been who he is at all times. His grace is the same. His mercy is the same. His love is the same. His compassion is the same. His power is the same. His goodness is the same. At all times, it will never improve. Human beings improve because we better, we learn, and then we improve ourselves. Trees grow. God doesn't grow. He is. He never changes. He never changes. And that's very important. And that's why we can trust him. In joy and in sorrow, in riches and in poverty, in all situations, the steadfast love of God never ceases. That's what Job understood. So when he lost everything, he knew God has not changed. God still loves me. I know that my Redeemer lives. I don't understand what has happened to me. I don't understand why all of a sudden I've lost everything. I don't understand why my children have died. I don't understand why my business collapsed. I don't understand all of that, but God never changes. And he loves me. He loves me when I have everything. He loves me when I lose everything. He loves me when I have good health. He loves me when my health is struggling. He loves me when I have a good time. He loves me when I have a bad time. God's love does not correspond to your experiences. Are you following me? Now, when you know that, you become steadfast in your faith, immovable. Through thick and thin, through water and fire. That's why the apostles of Jesus Christ never left him. That's why the prophets of old never left God. They were beheaded, they were eaten by lions, they were cut into two, they were burnt, but that never shook them because they understood the eternality of God. Because if you don't understand that, your Christianity will be circumstantial. When life is hard, I go to church. Hard, I go to church. When I get a breakthrough, I don't go to church. Some to do it opposite. When things are good, I go to church. Things are bad, oh, these days, I don't even know whether God is there. You are saying God's there or not there. It's dependent on your there and not there. Because your money is not there, God is not there. Then guess who is your God? The money, not the God of the Bible. If you get broke today, God is. And God has not loved you less. He has loved you with an eternal love. That's how he loves us. His love for us is eternal. He loves us eternally. So that's the second implication, that God never changes. And the third and final implication, because God is eternal, I can always experience God's presence. God is not far from me. I can talk to him anywhere. He can reach me anywhere and at any time. His presence is not limited to any spot on earth. He's not on a mountain. He's not in a valley. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not, where else? Accra. He is, of course, he's in Jerusalem. He's in Accra. He's everywhere. But you cannot confine the presence of God to a spot. You cannot. So all of you who go to places to seek for God, you don't understand his eternality. It doesn't mean you shouldn't go places. If you're a Christian and you want to go to Jerusalem to go and just observe the history of your faith and the Old Testament and the life of Christ and just know how these things happen in the historical context, that's great. If you go to Jerusalem and you go to the River Jordan, you say, oh, this is the water that Jesus was baptizing. You say, oh, that's nice. Remember, the water that he was baptizing has flowed long ago. It flowed long ago. So the one you are dipping in is not the water. It's flowed long ago. But, you know, you just said that, okay, I mean, just for me to recognize that and for me to identify in Christ, I'll go and stand in the Jordan River. That's fine. I don't have problem with it. But if you stand in the Jordan River thinking that there's a special anointing there, you don't understand the eternality of God. All right? Now, if you go to the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, where the last remnant of Solomon's temple, and you just go and put your hands there, just for archaeological purpose. I love history and archaeology. Everywhere I go to a museum, I'll go to some archaeological site because I'm very historical by nature. So if you want to do that, that's fine. But if you think by touching that wall, you are closer to God, you are crazy. You are crazy. There's something wrong with your head. Because God is eternal. His presence is not limited to the Wailing Wall. His presence is not limited to Jordan. You can go there and enjoy the historicity of your faith, but the reality of God, David says, he is the one who was in Jerusalem. He started Jerusalem. He says, when I go to the ends of the world, you are there. When I go to the skies, to the heavens, you are there. When I go to the place of death, you are there. Wherever I go, you are there. When I'm in darkness, you are there. When I'm in light, you are there. Nothing can hide God from you. God is eternal. Let's say that together. God is. Say it one more time.
God is.
For the last time.
God is.
Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. And that's your first lesson on God, that he is eternal. The Jews call him the eternal, the eternal, the king of the universe. He rules over the universe. He is everywhere at all times. And we cannot escape him, and we cannot escape his presence. Our belief in him or disbelief in him does not change his eternality. He'll be God after all of us have left the earth. And after a whole generation comes, he'll be God. He'll be God if the whole world says, we don't believe in God. He'll say, fine, but I am. We don't believe you are. He's not going to even prove himself. He is who he is at all times. And he is who he is before he created what we see now. And may the Lord help us to understand that he is eternal, he's changeless from age to age. He's the same. Let's talk to God. Let's pray just for a moment. Oh, yes, Lord. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. He hears you. Eternal God, we come to you. We thank you that you are who you are. You are the changeless one. Time does not change you. Space does not change you. Location does not change you. You are always who you are. Therefore, our trust is in you and our hope is in you. That even when things are dark, you are the light. When we are in the valley, you are there. When we are betrayed, you are there. When all men abandon us, you are there. When we feel no love, you love us. You never change. You never improve. You never become something else. You are always who you are in eternity. Help us, Father, to know you truly as you are, to grow in the knowledge of who you are, to love you and to serve you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otobi, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otobi. Email otobi@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688.